Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And don't forget, we need you to be some of our eyes and ears. Email us with things you haven't heard on the news, but that you see and hear with your own eyes and ears. Think something is newsworthy or just interesting enough to tell in public? Be the eyes and ears for your fellow Brian Lehrer Show listeners. Email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org with things you see and hear that should be on the news. Put the words eyes and ears in the subject line. Well, there's some presidential campaign news today. So yesterday, both houses of the New York State Legislature passed a bill moving the state's presidential primary up a month, like everyone else's, to February 5th, 2008. Governor Spitzer supports it, so it's more or less a done deal. He'll sign that bill. Whereas New York once was, in the words of New York State Assemblyman Keith Wright, mere potted plants in the past, unquote. Now the state is poised to become a major player. No more will candidates swing briefly through New York on their way to Iowa or New Hampshire just to raise some quick money. But will this give homemade candidates, Rudy and Hillary, both currently leading in their parties' respective polls, more of an edge? And speaking of Senator Clinton, did you see that ad on YouTube, the one in which expressionless drones are fixated on an image of Hillary Clinton, an image that is smashed by an iPod-wearing woman? Well, now it turns out that the Obama campaign does, in fact, have a loose affiliation with the creator of the ad, which plugs Obama at the end. We put a link to that ad that's gotten over a million views on YouTube on our webpage, so you can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to see what all the fuss is about. But will this kind of guerrilla advertising actually wind up hurting the candidate it was designed to help? Well, joining me now to talk about this and other politics, and we'll touch on the John Edwards mystery today, is Bob Hart, executive producer and political director of New York One. Hey, Bob, welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian.
Also with us is Rachel Leon, the executive director of Common Cause New York, the campaign finance reform group. Hey, Rachel, welcome back to WNYC to you, too.
Thanks. Good morning.
And I'm going to start with you, Rachel, because you're not so crazy about this idea of all these states, New York and New Jersey and Florida and California and everyone else, rushing to do their primaries on the same night, right?
Well, it's just frustrating when you have a state that's known for its dysfunction like New York, and it usually takes years and years to pass legislation, especially related to voting, when it's something that benefits, you know, two well-known candidates, Hillary and Rudy. It just, you know, speeds through. And I think one unintended effect, or maybe an intended effect, is that money in politics becomes even more crucial. So I get that New York will, you know, matter more, but it also has, you know, an impact on the whole issue of, you know, do you have to be a billionaire to run for office these days?
Bob, how did New York get? I didn't know New York was getting into this mad dash. I had heard about New Jersey. I knew about California and Florida. Did they do this all of a sudden in a rush without even giving it much thought?
They caught the bug, Brian. They saw these other states doing it, and Albany lawmakers jumped on the bandwagon. And when Governor Spitzer, who initially was unclear where he stood, then about a week and a half ago indicated that he was very supportive of it, they, you know, rushed it through, as Rachel pointed out yesterday, and it appears it'll be signed by the governor, and it'll be reality, which is pretty amazing.
And it amazing, and, you know, how unusual for New York state politics to get something done this quickly.
Yeah. We sometimes go whole sessions with almost passing no laws, so this is definitely unusual. And yeah, I just hope that it doesn't mean that, you know, for people who aren't, you know, connected to special interests, that it's going to be even more difficult for them to mount a challenge.
And we're not going to have a little thing like a budget on time on April 1st in New York, Bob, are we?
It doesn't appear that way, but you never know. I mean, the way things are going, the way Senate Majority Joe Bruno is talking or not talking with the governor, it appears that the two-year streak of having an on-time budget is about to be snapped. But I'd say never until, I'd say, March 30th, March 31st, and then we'll really know.
Then we'll check back. But, yeah, it was some streak 2 years after 20 years in a row of being late.
I think they finally got the message that, you know, voters had had enough, and so, you know, they really focused, and when they really focus, they can get things done. I mean, right now what we're seeing is, you know, we have a new governor, emotions are running high, and so everyone's, you know, sort of testing out the new relationships.
Rachel,
so,
are you based in Albany?
We're actually statewide, but I've been up there every week, but we do have an office in New York as well.
All right, so I'll ask both of you, which is worse, the relations that Pataki had with Sheldon Silver or the relations that Governor Spitzer now has with Joe Bruno?
I think there was kind of a disgust between Silver and Pataki, but because Spitzer's new on the scene, there seems to be this fresh level of real anger that you're seeing from the governor, and also, you know, Bruno is almost like, you know, son, you haven't been here, you don't know how things work attitude in some of his sound bites. But the funny thing that I've been saying to people is that when Governor Pataki seemed angry or acted angry, it just seemed just that, it was an act. Whereas with Governor Spitzer, you really feel that there's a real level of anger when he walked out yesterday or 2 days ago of budget talks. He just basically walked out on Bruno. It really just was palpable just watching him even on the screen.
We're going to open up the phones. People can call in on any of these things. Have you seen that Hillary, really anti-Hillary, scary anti-Hillary ad that uses a 1984 Apple Macintosh ad as its starting point? Give us a call. Talk about that. Call and talk about the February 5th super-duper Tuesday primary as it's shaping up for next year with, it looks like, New York and New Jersey now both getting on that bandwagon as well. Anything else for Bob Hart from New York One and Rachel Leon from Common Cause, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. It's funny, Rachel, I guess I thought that it might be good for democracy if we almost have almost a one national primary day, so everybody can get focused on it, and it'll really matter rather than places like New Hampshire and South Carolina and Iowa having much more impact than they should have had on the nomination process. Does it work both ways?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, there's definitely benefits, and especially benefits for New York in the sense that, you know, we've really been left out of, you know, because of the focus on places like Iowa and New Hampshire. So, yeah, I can definitely see where it will at least make us feel like, you know, we're in the middle of the fight. It's just that when you look at, you know, what it's going to cost to be in the media markets in all these places, it's just no doubt that it's going to raise the costs even higher. And it's just depressing this year because, you know, Hillary Clinton came out and announced for president, which was, you know, historic, and she also was the first one to announce that she wasn't going to be a part of the presidential public financing system. So, you know, this is just a time of contradictions. I mean, we're seeing real progress, but we're also seeing money dominate like never before. And so we just have to keep on trying to fix the presidential public financing system and make sure that, you know, candidates like Hillary and Rudy support fixing it, since they're certainly benefiting from having an earlier primary. So that, you know, they should just also be trying to reform the system.
Let's switch gears and talk about this anti-Hillary ad produced, as it turns out, by an Obama tech staffer who's now been fired. We have a clip. You really got to see it, and we have it linked to on our webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. But we have a clip of it, so let's listen to the audio.
1 month ago, I began a conversation with all of you, and so far, we haven't stopped talking, and that's really good. I intend to keep telling you exactly where I stand on all of the issues.
I'm looking at how to help you and other people who are hardworking like you, and I've really been impressed by how serious people are.
Because we all need to be part of the discussion if we're all going to be part of the solution.
And then a woman wearing an iPod, she's the only one in color, smashes the screen after Hillary there was talking. And you can almost hear, just from the echo, the way it was produced in sound, how it had this kind of George Orwell 1984 tone. And then this woman wearing an iPod smashes the screen, frees the drones from enslavement by Big Brother or Big Sister in that case. And then these words appear on the screen. Beginning January 14th, the Democratic primary will begin, and you'll see why 2008 won't be like 1984, which then fades away to BarackObama.com. Bob, whoa.
What was your question, Brian?
My question was, whoa.
Oh, yeah. It was a very powerful ad or video. And I think the reason why it resonated wasn't like, you know, Hillary Clinton like slipping on a banana peel and we're all laughing, is that it resonated that she is the candidate, the heavy favorite, or until recently the heavy favorite, now the favorite, who a lot of Democrats say they feel obligated to support. She is the big brother. She is the icon. And the people are sitting there, and you know, Hillary is saying some things that aren't so exciting, and then someone comes along and smashes it. And I think that speaks very loudly for some Democrats who are saying to themselves, oh, geez, do I really have to support her? And this video is saying very powerfully, no, you don't. There's another kid, a new kid on the block, and you should check him out. And that's why I think we're hearing so much about it, not just that it's on the Internet, not just so much that it's a tribute to the Ridley Scott Macintosh ad from 1984. It's that, you know, you don't have to support this person who everyone's telling you in the party that you have to support.
So put on your political analyst hat and tell me, do you think this might backfire? Because the comments on YouTube are hardly all pro-Obama. One person writes, quote, this makes Hillary look strong. Obama is connected to a group of nerds hiding in a garage. And some people just assume that Republicans were behind the ad and now are going to be ticked off when they find out that it was a fellow Democrat.
I don't think in this case it's going to backfire at all. I don't think this crossed some line of offensiveness or anything like that. But I think the signals that we're going to see a lot of people who are fans, who are technically savvy, who are going to make their own Sundays, so to speak. They're going to make their own videos, their own ads, and put them up on YouTube. I mean, we saw one of the best ads in the Super Bowl was an ad that was made by people that was shot in the supermarket, you know, for very little money. And we might see some of the best political ads this year on YouTube that are going to be linked around. I don't think in a general election this is going to matter because a lot of people who go vote don't watch these things. But I think party activists and the Republican and Democratic parties, this could have an impact in Iowa, New Hampshire, and on Super Duper Tuesday.
It does.
And it alludes to the question, will young people get into this? And, you know, will they have an impact on the election? And, I mean, I think the whole chaos of the web, you know, is definitely going to impact the presidential race this year. You know, I don't think we know yet how, but...
Right. I mean, a million people viewed this on YouTube, and Huffington Post broke the identity of the guy, Phil DeVellis, who was a techie until very recently in the Obama campaign. But Rachel Leon from Common Cause, this relates to the money question, the thing that you monitor in politics, because I wonder if the ad in some way counters or at least dilutes the impact of money in these campaigns, given how many people are viewing it, and then it spills over to the broadcast media like us talking about it. It's been all over the networks too.
Yeah, I think the positive part about YouTube is that, you know, we're not just dominated by 30-second commercials that are paid for. We now have this whole other immediate instant gratification world, which, you know, has ups and downs, but I do think it means that it's going to be a chaotic election, and I think, you know, we're going to see a lot of stuff that the candidates can't manage. And hopefully that means more discourse and more people talking about issues. And we'll have to wait and see, but that would be the goal.
Right.
Of the internet,
things they cannot manage, you were saying, right?
What?
Things they cannot manage.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they're going to be able to manage a lot of this. And so,
Rachel Leon from Common Cause, Bob Hart from New York One, my guest on WNYC, and Roslyn in Stamford, you're on WNYC. Hi, Roslyn.
Good morning. I'm calling to comment about the movement of the states to have their primary campaigns on February 5th.
What do you think?
What do I think? I think this is a questionable move. I don't see how anybody is going to be able to vote in a primary that early in a campaign unless the campaign is going to really be conducted through September through January, which leaves a lot of people in a position of not being able to participate in a primary in any event before a candidate is selected.
Roslyn, I'm going to leave your comment there. Thank you. Chuck in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, I was thinking of voting for Clinton or Obama, couldn't make up my mind, and then bang, David Geffen slaps me into reality, right? I mean, for the wrong reasons. He's backing
that David Geffen speech for Obama the other week.
Yeah, and you know, but and it's sort of for the wrong reasons because he loves this cop killing Native American terrorist. But anyway, it made me realize, wait a minute, the brilliance of the 1984 ad is it reminded me of the voice that I would have to listen to for the next 4 years as. It's very unpresidential, it's very phony, and it's very repellent. And it sort of reminded me, wait a minute, I don't want to have to wake up to that every day.
So it was the voice of Hillary Clinton that was effective to you in turning you off to her in that. Okay. Marie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC.
Hello. There are There's a commercial running on TV on behalf of the governor's health care cuts, in which a children's chorus sings the Hallelujah Chorus, and in small print at the bottom of the screen are the words, paid for by Spitzer 2010.
Huh.
Is this guy already running for re-election 5 minutes after he was inaugurated?
And Ryan, I can answer that question if you want.
Bob, go ahead.
The money has to come from somewhere, and obviously it can't be government money. So what Spitzer is doing is dipping into his leftover campaign account from 2006, rolling it over to a new campaign committee, which is, you know, Spitzer 2010, and funding the commercials that way. A lot of people have asked me, hey, is he already running for re-election? That's the name of the committee. And if you read between the lines, yes, he certainly, most certainly is. But he needs a funding mechanism for the ads, and that's it.
So, Rachel Leon, what does this say about Democracy New York style?
Well, I mean, what he's doing is taking his budget battle straight to the airwaves. So, on the one hand, it's good that he didn't try to do it in a shady way with public dollars, but it's so aggressive. I mean, I think it's similar to these ads that we're seeing on Hillary. I mean, we're just seeing these ads back and forth from the healthcare industry versus the governor, and you know, it's just it's a very expensive way to have a fight over what do we do with our health care dollars. So,
hey, Bob, we have about 30 seconds left. John Edwards is going to hold a news conference this afternoon that he says is going to be about his wife's health. She's had cancer in the past, and the future of his campaign. What are you expecting?
I spoke to one of his top advisors, and he said he didn't even know. This is pure speculation on my part. I think that the news wasn't great, and he's going to say something about temporarily suspending his campaign and reexamining it. Again, this is 100% speculation on my part.
Do we know what time that's scheduled for today?
It's at noon.
It's at noon? Okay, so we'll bring you word of that as soon as it happens. And Bob Hart, executive producer and political director at New York One. Rachel Leon, executive director of Common Cause New York. Thanks, both of you, for coming on with us.
Thank you.
Brian
Lehrer on WNYC.